Hey, welcome to the podcast. Sorry it's been like 2 weeks since the last one. We've been busy, that's all. We do have a life outside of you. This week, we're doing American Born Chinese by Jean Luen Yang. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. That's a local artist from Oakland. We're doing The Tale of the Batman, Gotham by Gaslight, by Brian Augustin, Michael Mignola, P. Craig Russell, and Eduardo Barreto. And A Dummy's Guide to Danger. That's by Jason M. Burns and Ron Chan. I do not have my cast this week of James, Daniel, and Andy. I'm very sad. They're just too busy. James is in Burma this week. Andy's in prison for arson. And Daniel is baking him a cake with a file in it. So, without any further ado, let's talk about American Born Chinese. That's, it was a series of short zines for a while, and now they've all been compiled into a lovely, really nicely bound book. It's kind of lengthy, actually, but it's a great read. It's definitely worth it. It's three stories. One is of the Monkey King, which is from Journey to the West, really classic Chinese folk epic novel written 1600s, I think. It's all about the Monkey King and his trials and tribulations with the forces of heaven. And so there's that. And then there's also a story set in mostly modern day about a kid, it's set like in the 80s, about a kid who feels left out. He's Asian. His parents are, I think they're from China, or they're, his grandparents are from China. Anyway, he's got a very traditionally Chinese family, and he feels very much left out of American culture. And then there's a third story, so many stories, about a boy named Danny, who's very average, just some kind of blends in wallflowery white guy. He's got a incredibly offensive Chinese cousin named Chinky, who visits him every year and embarrasses him and mortifies him, and Danny agonizes over how people perceive him and whether they think he's super Asian, even though by all accounts, he's not. So he's worried about associating with his cousin Chinky, who does stuff like, you know, he tells women they should bind their feet, and he sings Ricky Martin songs really badly, and he's really into academics, and he's got giant buck teeth and very yellow skin. So, good grief, it's horrible what Chinky does. It's a great book. The dialogue is really... This is the biggest problem I have with comics, is that the dialogue is so macho and trying to prove stuff, or it's sneering, and we're really hip and modern with our dialogue. But this is really a project... Like, everybody just talks like a normal person in here, and it's great, with the exception of Chinky, who talks like something from 100 years ago. And the story of the Monkey King is of course, very charming. Oddly, it's got all these little Christian elements sprinkled in, which certainly weren't in the original. For example, Buddha has been replaced by Yahweh, which is kind of distracting. The Monkey King's journey is to deliver gifts to Mary and Joseph, rather than to deliver scrolls to India, as it is in the original. And there's some other Christian thing in here, and I can't remember what it was, but it's just a little odd that that's been put in there all of a sudden. It doesn't really seem to fit in with the rest of the book, really, which is mostly about Asian identity and how people perceive... other people perceiving them when they are part of a minority. This poor kid, Jin is his name, in the middle story about the kid who feels left out. Jin is so self-conscious about being Asian. Nobody else, he's no other Asian friends. There's nobody even at his school who's Asian. There's one other girl, and since they're the only two Asians, they avoid each other studiously. Otherwise, everybody will be like, oh, they must be related, or they must be going out. So then this new kid moves to town who's Asian, he's from Taiwan, and they strike up a friendship, but Jin's kind of a jerk to him because this kid just reminds him of how left out he feels. Then meanwhile, Danny is, you know, it goes back and forth between these three stories. Danny is just mortified by his cousin, who's hitting on girls and harassing his friends, and just in general being horrifying. So Danny's just totally mortified by all of this. And it comes down to there's a showdown with Chinky. And meanwhile, in the parallel story about Danny, I mean about Jin, who feels left out, Jin is just feeling sadder and sadder and sadder. He has a fight with his friend, he alienates some more people, and he just keeps wishing. He remembers back when he was a little kid when he had a little Transformers robot, and he said that when he grew up he wanted to be a Transformer. And what he really wants is to transform into a white person. So, all those stories, strangely enough, they sort of dovetail together at the end, and Jin's story of wanting to be white and Danny's story of how people think he's Asian because he's got this outrageous Asian cousin, and the Monkey King story about how he thinks he's too good for heaven, all sort of combine to be a moral about not being so phony all the time. So, big thumbs up for American Born Chinese. We loved it. Really fantastic. Gotham by Gaslight, on the other hand, thumbs down for that one, I think. Oh, I mean, frowny face. You can't say thumbs down when you're evaluating something because it's copyrighted. So, one of the fingers on my hand is pointed down, and I won't tell you which one. You can probably guess. Gotham by Gaslight, it's Batman, only he's 100 years ago. It's set in Gotham of 1906, where Batman's fighting crime, he's got Jack the Ripper to worry about, there's lots of cobblestones and horse-drawn carriages, there's a lot of gas lamps and greenhouses, there's some kind of World's Fair type thing. Everything's very gilded and crystalline and gazebos everywhere. You know, they did a really excellent job capturing the design style of the early 1900s. Or at least I think they did. I'm no expert, and I wasn't alive back then. But it looks pretty good to me, you know. You see pictures of the 1900s, and that's what it looks like. So, it looks nice. But it's just the same old blah, blah, blah. Here's Batman fighting the Joker. Here's Batman fighting Jack the Ripper. Here's Batman fighting some crazy guy with a blimp. And he's crashing through windows and tossing people around and sword fighting, and it's like, yeah, so? He's 100 years ago, but what else is new? It's just not exciting. But boy, it really is beautiful, and I can't get enough of that steampunk stuff with the this giant airship. Oh, I love airships, and sorry, that just came out more orgasmic than I intended it to. But there's one page I think is really awesome, where they're fighting, and they're fighting in the bowels of an airship. I don't know how an airship has bowels, but it does. And intercut with that is a little picture, periodically a picture of some sort of indicator. It's a dial with a little red zone, and the needle's pointing further and further into the red zone that says danger. And there's just no indication of what this thing represents. Like, is it air pressure? Is it weight? Is it altitude? What is dangerous? What's going on? But, you know, you just know what it's supposed to mean. It's just danger. The danger level is increasing. So I think that's pretty cool. And there's a nice explosion at the end. And really, that's all there is to say about that. A Dummy's Guide to Danger by Jason M. Burns and Ron Chan. It's a pretty standard issue, hard-boiled alpha male cop drama. The only difference here is that the cop team, sort of like, you always get those cop teams where one of his, like, the partner's been shot and killed, or the partner's in a wheelchair, or, like, somebody's damaged. The other guy is, like, tough, and he has to be tough for both of them now. And in this one, there's this tough guy, private detective, and his partner is a ventriloquist's dummy, who he insists can talk. And people are like, that's kind of crazy, but you're a good private detective, so we'll just humor you. And that's kind of funny, but so what? You know, he's got a ventriloquist dummy, and that's kind of funny, but what else is new? It's not really quite enough to carry the plot. I mean, it's a good book-ish. there's some fighting and some blood, and there's a car crash, and there's some very clever murders, and those are fun, but as cop stories go, as crime-fighting stories go, it's just meh. For example, the guys at dinner, the private eyes at dinner with a hot lady detective, which is terribly innovative, and he gets a phone call, and the phone call says, "You should go to this address and see what's happening there." Click. And that's not a character calling him. That is the author realizing that he has to get this character to this address, and he doesn't know how to do it. So, oh, I'll just write that some mysterious voice calls and tells him to go. It's not creative, and it's lame, and that's kind of how the book goes. Nothing really stands out. But the stuff that is in there is done really well, and it's fun. The murders, as I said, are really excellent. So if you're into blood and gore and tough-talking, wise-cracking, big-muscle guys with broad noses, then I guess you could do worse. So, moderate vote of confidence there. Also, it's followed by a short comic called The Strange Meaning of Lucille and Jimmy by Eric Valdez and Alanis. And it's just terrible. It's lame and awful. It's trying to be Emily the Strange or Lenore or something. It's just dreadful. So that's all I'm going to say about that. So those are our comics this week. I'm not going to do the reenactments because it's just weird when I do it by myself. I mean, if you really want me to, I will. Drop me a line. Let me know. You can write to us at superfister@gmail.com. Or is it superfisters? Hold on, let me check. As it turns out, either one works. So you can send it to superfister@gmail.com or superfisters@gmail.com. And if I can remember the password, I'll get it either way. So, that's pretty much the podcast for this week. Nice and short, huh? So, see you later.